Good morning, sir, and what is your name, sir? Good morning. What is your name, sir?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, now I can.
So what's your name, sir?
My name is San Benito Salinas.
Okay, hold on a second. Who's going to do Mr. Salinas, okay? The Honorable Mr. Willie Kiwanis is going to conduct your hearing, so just hang on to the phone, sir.
On the phone?
Yes, sir. Just stay on the phone.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Barely.
Okay, let me try to adjust my microphone. Sir, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit better. They have the number right here that I'm calling this phone.
Oh, okay. Well, hold that number up for us, sir. Hold it up.
3647521.
Well, that's wait a minute. 3648419.
34848.
Where are we now? That's Douglas.
3448. Okay.
That's Douglas. Mm-hmm. 52364.
7521.
Okay, we have that part of it. And then another is
3448.
Okay, we're going to try this other phone number, sir.
Here on the State Prison Complex in Douglas. If you know your party's extension number, you may dial it at any time during this message.
Wait while I transfer your call.
Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and we were given this number for this hearing. Are we going to do it by phone, sir?
For a hearing?
We were given extension 34849.
34848.
8, okay.
34848?
Okay, yes. Could you transfer it to that one, 3?
Yes, sir.
4, okay, thank you. Yes, sir. So now I think we're looking at it. So at this time, the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis is going to conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Now I can hear you. That's great. Can you state your full name and AEC number for the record?
My name is San Benito Salinas. That is 1671-95.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is about the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on December 3rd, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I have no attorney.
Okay, so are you representing yourself, sir?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, sir. Now again, it's your right to hire an attorney. In this case, one is not provided to you by the state. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your video conference screen, I'll begin with the board members on the opposite side of the bench and work towards me. We have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse.
Hi, Your Honor.
At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing.
Okay, thank you.
Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Westby, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Salinas and Mr. Respy, you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God and so you affirm.
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Salinas, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. And keep in mind there's a separate motion in which we vote to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two. So, when I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and we can talk about it, but keep in mind the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will begin phase one of this hearing by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal razor company as follows. Violation of condition 12B, as demonstrated by your physical and phone contact with victim Andreana Salinas on or about November 6, 2018. Mr. Salinas, is this true or false?
This is true.
Thank you. I will now make a motion so that the board can vote to pass on this hearing, pardon me, pass this hearing from phase one to phase two, and that is based on Mr. Salinas' admission. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal raise or company.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Salinas, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Respy, our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Salinas. Mr. Respy.
On October 1st, 2018, Mr. Salinas was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested November 7th, 2018 by EDC staff, noting charges. He was back in UC custody on November 7th, 2018, with a projected community supervision end date of February 7th, 2019, 0 abscondes. Current conviction, 2017, aggravated assault, 2.5 years. He has a prior conviction in 2002, aggravated domestic violence, 1 year. 2004, indirect prosecution, first degree, 6.5 years. This is his third term at DOC, CUIR score 2-1, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2002, TIS release of absconder 19 days, arrested on a new felony, aggravated assault and hindering prosecution, Greek CSEB in jail. 2008, TIS release completion, 14 months. His disciplinary violations are moderate. Other arrest, 1992, theft, Arizona, felony conviction, probation, and numerous drug-related arrests between the years of 1994 and 2007. However, those charges were either dismissed or not processed. His community risk score is a G2B4.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Salinas. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with an approved placement at V-Ray, located at 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona. No other address changes were approved while you were on community supervision. So was this the only place that you lived when you were outside of prison?
Yes. I was doing well there.
Very good. You reported working at Atlas Works as a humper. The parole officer was able to obtain information to verify this information. So what exactly is that role at Atlas, sir?
I'm a forklift driver here.
A forklift.
Sir.
We certainly commend you for having, or for being gainfully employed when you were released from prison. Did you gain forklift skills when you were inside prison, or is that something you did before?
That's something I had done before.
You were enrolled into task for random analysis. It looks like, I'll read further into the document, but we don't have any reports of your analysis. Did you take any UAs while you were out, sir?
Only the ones provided by the V-Ray,
okay.
Which was once or twice a week. If I may, I'm a sobriety coach. I have 6 years clean from drinking, 4 years from meth, and three years from marijuana.
Do we have some notes? It says on November 7, 2018, Officer Gross received the call from B-Way staff member regarding you on November 6, 2018. The staff admitted that he was having issues with you not returning to the facility before curfew and failing to attend house meetings. When he made contact with you on November 6 as to why you're out past curfew, he could hear a female crying and yelling in the background. Staff have reported that you informed him that the lady in the background was your wife, Andreana Salinas. On November 7th, Officer Gross contacted you and directed you to report to the Western Regional Parole Office to discuss the concerns the facility was having with you signing in and out at the appropriate times. On November 7th, 2018, you reported to the parole office. You reported that you were with your wife, but that you guys were not fighting. You reported that your wife, Andreana, was arguing with her halfway house. Officer Gross explained to you that a review of your file will need to be completed to be determined if contact with your wife is appropriate. After review, the officer determined that you had aggravated domestic violence, an ongoing prosecution, an aggravated assault in which Andreana Salinas was the victim, and that you had a probation violation due to you failing to not have contact with the victim. Just 1 second, because there's quite a few notes. Andreana Salinas reported that she was aware that you were not supposed to have any contact with her, but she is able to see her kids when she is with you, and that your mother has custody of the children, is that correct?
Yes. If I may?
Yes, sir. This is time for you to speak, so yes, sir.
Okay. While I was on probation, when 2011, the assault occurred, I was a drug addict, and I don't blame any of my actions on being a drug addict, but we were getting clean, she was pregnant with my son, and I got mad and did something stupid and horrendous, and I should never have done it, but it led me into getting clean and sober. We were married. The state picked up the charges in 14. We were clean by then. We went to court. I got probation. The judge had no problem with me being with my wife. I was with her at a U-Mom, which is a family shelter in Phoenix. We continued to stay clean. I got a traffic violation while I was on my second year of probation. They gave me 6 months to do the deferred jail time.
So I went into Jericho County for 6 months, and in that time, my wife relapsed, lost the kids to CPS. I got out, and before I got out, my probation officer asked me to sign a no contact order. And I was like, why no contact order? If I didn't do nothing, then my wife didn't do nothing. She told me to sign it or I wasn't going to get out, so I signed it. I got out. Me and my wife were both fighting CPS to get the kids back. I helped my wife out, get into a halfway house to get clean, to get the kids back. And we were at CPS, and she said, well, you're having contact with your wife. I said, well, there's no way I could not have contact if we're going to meet at CPS to fight for the kids. She violated me. I'm not going to lie. I ran to try to get everything in order, my house and everything. When they caught me, I went and did the 2.5 years. I got out this time. I've been clean since that time. And I basically, when I got out, my wife contacted me and told me she was on the streets and she was doing bad. I didn't mean to violate my parole because my children are what's important to me. And that's why I work. And that's why I was doing good. And I told her I'd help her out, and we tried to get her into a halfway house. Got her into a halfway house, and then because she reported late from Halloween, they kicked her out for 3 days. And then they told her she couldn't get back in until she paid her fees and her dues. I went down there to help her, give her some money to pay for it. And she was upset, and that's when Jeremy called me, or Jonathan called me, I forgot his name, Josh, had called me from the halfway house and said that I was supposed to be at the meeting. I told him, well, I was currently, you know, I was going to be late because I was dealing with my wife, and she was yelling at the people at the halfway house, why weren't they letting her in? And there's what happened in my case, and I understand that I wasn't supposed to have contact with her if a divorce is what's recommended or whatever. I just want my kids in. My mom is 78 years old. She has my two children, and she has my adopted nephews, two of my nephews' two children. So she's a very awesome mother. She's watching 4 kids, none of them over 10. And also, my brother, who has cerebral palsy, he's mentally retarded, and he's older than I am. He's 200, and my mom's only, he's 200 pounds, and my mom's only a little 5-foot lady who's probably about 100 pounds. And I assist her as much as I can. And really, right now, I'm just asking for leniency and maybe Christmas spirit, and let me get back out there with my kids and help my mom out. But if you guys recommend divorce and for me to not help my wife out, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I will abide by the law and do that if that's the law.
Mr. Salinas, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Regardless of when you're released from prison and you're down to your last 45 days, so unless something bad happens inside the Department of Corrections, it looks like you have about 6 weeks left. When you are released from prison, one way or the other, is there still a no contact clause with her probation, or what will happen?
Oh, no, she has no probation.
Okay, and what about you?
Excuse me?
The only thing preventing you from contact with your wife, or is she your ex-wife or your wife?
My wife.
Okay, the only thing preventing contact with you, your wife right now, pardon me, is your community corrections?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just want to understand that. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I don't have any questions from fellow board members. Mr. Salinas, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. You've given us a very detailed statement, and we appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us in the interest of time management, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before this board goes into discussion and votes on this case?
I was very helpful with Taros in Phoenix as a sobriety counselor, basically not a counselor, but a sobriety coach, and helping people recover and stay clean. That's why I'm the way I am. I'm as truthful as possible because it's part of my sobriety. That's why when my office, the officer had asked me if I had contact with my wife, I did not lie to her and say, no, it was my sister or something else of some other sort. I just basically am an honest guy and try to do the best I can to keep my kids. And that's another thing, I'm fighting to get my kids back, and this kind of set me back. Not only that, I have a hernia, which I was trying to get repaired when I was out, when I got out. And right now I currently have water on my knee, and I would like to get that drained because it hurts and they're not doing it here.
Thank you, Mr. Salinas. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly.
Yes, sir.
But it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I'd like to begin by stating that I do appreciate how detailed Mr. Salinas was with his board. He gave quite a bit of accountability as to how events unfolded when he was on community supervision status. And I certainly feel for his plight, especially considering that he's trying to work out a situation with his wife and custody regarding the kids. But with only 45 days left and the issue being contact with his wife while he's on community supervision, I'm just not finding him a suitable candidate for community supervision. It just almost seems like a recipe for conflict, if you will. Now, I hope that any sort of domestic violence or conflict that's happening between this couple is coming to an end for the greater good of everybody, let alone their children. But I will say again, I'm not finding him a suitable candidate for community supervision. And also, I heard what he said about leniency near the holidays, but certainly not to be cruel, but it takes at least 2 weeks to return an individual to the community after an administrative out processing, and there's not much that could happen before the holiday season. So for actually the original reasons that I stated, I'm not in support of community supervision, but that's where I'll begin the discussion. Okay, then I'm going to go and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018W3221, a discussion of Mr. Salinas as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Salinas was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed, and was about to lapse in a criminal raising company inasmuch that he violated his conditions of community supervision by having contact with his wife, who was also a victim, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Spent second. Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse and agreed upon by our esteemed Board Chairman, Dr. C.T. White. Okay, Mr. Salinas, your supervision has been revoked, but you will be released on February 7th, 2019. I recognize that may sound like a very long time, especially right now during the holidays, but it is only 45 days away, so we encourage you to take advantage of any programming, put together a plan for your return to the community so that you can continue with the issues that you were dealing with child custody, and we do wish you a safe and conflict-free return to the community. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And Mr. Salinas, thank you for appearing before this board today. If you could, please give the phone to your CO3.
Oh, excuse me?
Could you give the phone to your CO3? Thank you, sir.